I'm not beneath. But we do the beneath things. We don't do the above things. Every beggar is beneath. No matter how much he confesses, he's beneath. You know what the Bible calls a double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways that cannot receive anything from God? Is a man who says one thing and does another. That's a double-minded person. It's not just I think like this and then I think like that. No. I think one way, I say one thing, I do another thing. Because what you think comes from your thoughts. What you do comes from your thoughts. Though you don't realize you are thinking two different things, but what you are saying is not cooperating what you are doing. You say, I am above alone and not beneath. Meanwhile, you are a beggar every day, jumping from one high, looking for one high-paying job to another. You have never thought. Let me tell you what, those who are above are those who are giving. I hope you understand the point I'm trying to make. It is more blessed to give, Jesus said, than to receive. That is, you must be imparting something into life that you are living in. Not confessing that, everybody just hangs around in Nigeria. Very common. You hang around government. Once your brother is governor, you know, all your friends suddenly become your good friends, and your enemies become your friends, and your acquaintances become your very good friends also. Why? Because, you know, your brother is now the governor. So that is how they intend to make money. And they come to church and come and testify. They praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brethren, rejoice with me. Last week, if I gave me a contract for 1 million naira, and hey, hallelujah, and pastor will say, the Lord is good, come, let me bless you as you are going out in this your contract getting adventure. Listen, that is stupidity. Very childish. Look, don't you read stories? The men who are great, how many of them became great looking for contracts? For them, they even when they are, look, you know, what you call contracts for them is job they are doing. Are you understanding what I make? There are people say, look, look at this. Julius Berger is charging us 20 million for this. These guys will do it for us, 15 million. So they come to them. Not that they are lobbying. You give a guy 500,000, whether he can find you a job. That is not the point. You have nothing. Look, listen, when you have something to impart to people, you won't have to bribe anybody. I hope you know that. I mean, after all, they are begging you. If they say, bribe, I don't have time. Carry your money and go away. I hope I am making sense. That is, what God is giving us is what? The power to create wealth, not to make money. The power to create wealth. The power to make wealth. The power to do something. What happened to Joseph was that after interpreting the dream, God gave him wisdom to solve the problem. It was, look, I hope you know, it was not just the interpretation of the dream that was the issue. It was that he proposed a solution to Pharaoh. After all, you never can tell. If one of Pharaoh's magicians had interpreted the dream, he would not have become ruler. I hope you know that. He would not have become ruler. This man did not just interpret the dream. What did he do? He now proposed a solution. And because of that wisdom, Pharaoh looked and said, wait. You said we should do it like this. Just go come and do it for us. And that's how he became ruler. And like I was saying to you last time, Pharaoh was not trying to make him rich. I hope you know that. Pharaoh was not trying to empower him so that he can say, I have succeeded. Pharaoh was empowering him so that he can complete the assignment that he started the idea of. Are you getting me? So what do we need, therefore, to succeed in life? Is for God to give us the power, the wisdom to create wealth. Are you following the point? And when I'm talking about wisdom, it's not that you can recite, you know, it's a 100, everything, and then the whole of Proverbs in your head. They say, this man is very, very wise. He knows the whole of the Bible. That is not what we are talking about. If you cannot produce cheaper cars, really. If Nigerians must still be buying brand new cars for 4 million naira, you can speak the whole of the Bible on top of cars. You have no wisdom concerning cars. I hope you understand the point I am making. What I'm saying, is it making sense? One of my friends the other day, you know, he went to Lagos to go and do a job for a company. Why did they call him? Very big company. If I mention the name, you guys will know. Every time these guys, they had this big machine they use for their products. Every month, one critical component must break down. Then the woman will come from, I think, Germany or somewhere and come and repair it. After 1 month, it will break down again. And these guys were spending millions of naira importing German to come and repair it. So they said that, This machine, what is wrong with it? Is it not made by human beings? Now they import this boy from Oka. The guy go Lagos. It's true. Settle down. He said, look at our problem. He says, that's okay. Let me give me the old one that is bad. He sat down, watched it, fabricated his own. They replaced it with it and paid him ₦1 million for the job. Now, are you getting the point I'm making? That is the creation of wealth, not the making of money. Tomorrow, when they have another problem, who do you think they will call? They have found out that the German man is too costly. You pay his flight ticket. You tell you he only flies first class KLM. You lodge him in Sheraton. This boy probably stay with his friend in Suleri. To save the hotel money. I'm telling you the truth. That is the power to do what? To make wealth. That is what we are talking about. Not that, we make money. We may as well join Rich Dad Poor Dad and that Robert Kiyosaki and his friend and be manufacturing coins. It's the same thing. But that's not what God is saying. God is saying that if you create something that will empower the lives of people, the money shall be automatically added unto you. Our emphasis, therefore, as we are going out in life as young people, is not how can I make money? No, it's not how can I make money. It's what can I do to affect my generation? Look at problems in the nation. What can I do? What's my own portion of solving economic problems? Listen, if you think like that and pray like that, God will begin to settle ideas in your mind. Listen to me. Difference between white man and black man is only on the skin. I hope you know what I mean, anatomically. Okay? Once you peel off the skin, you can't tell which one was white originally and which one was black. What makes the difference is that in their culture, because they had a culture of let me say, Christianity, God had empowered the spirits and the souls of men to be able to think differently from the way our people were thinking here. Let me give a practical example that I like to use to illustrate this. Those days, let's assume, Oyekachukwu, that your great-grandfather, was an Ogbonge Dibia in his village, you know. Now, meanwhile, let's assume the man doesn't even have any spiritual knowledge. It's just knowledge of leaves that he had. You know what he would do? He will show only your great-grandfather the leaf. Who will show only your grandfather the leaf? Who will show your father? And hopefully your father will show you too. Then if one of them dies mistaken along the way, the knowledge of the leaf, that is the end. But you know what white man does? He does what they call publications. He will publish the finding of a rare species of leaf that kills diseases. That is, he empowers everybody. That's why they became rich. It's not because we didn't have the knowledge. But our knowledge never multiplied itself. It always died somewhere. Are you getting the point I'm making? So anybody had to make anything, had to start from the scratch. So Isaac Newton will discover laws and die with it. So when Albert Einstein comes, he has to start from the scratch. But in reality, Albert Einstein never had to think about what Isaac Newton thought about. He just read what Isaac Newton has said, and he started from there. That is why, look, listen, I have a personal conviction. There are things you can't achieve in one generation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? One generation must lay the foundation. Like David, look, it was easy for Solomon to build. David had already collected all the building materials. But no, our people, the problem used to be that the man said, look, he wants to empower only himself so that they will travel all the way from Lagos and Sokoto 10 months journey to come and cure one disease somewhere in Anambra State. But he would not give the solution to those who are going back. And listen, what a man sows, that shall he also reap. You can imagine that everybody in the society is sowing nonsense. So they are reaping selfishness. They are reaping poverty. Why do you think the white man came with all the knowledge of spiritual people, the things they claim to have? The white man overran the whole of Africa without batting an eyelid. Because the people have been sowing to the flesh. So of the flesh, what did they reap? Corruption. Those who their ancestors sowed into the spirit, that is, they were willing givers. They automatically were the head and not the tail. I hope I'm making sense. Listen, headship and tailship, pardon the use of my neologism, all right? It's not just to wake up in the morning and declare. It's your attitude towards life. That's what will decide whether you will be on top or you will be beneath. If you come out of life trying to make money, then you have chosen to be the tail and not the head. But if you come, because you see, the one who lends, his hands will always be above. That is the one who is giving. So if you face life with an attitude that I want to give, what a man sows, that shall he also reap. Men will give back to you. It's a spiritual principle. I hope what I'm saying is making sense. That is the power to get wealth. It's not to, you know, that is why most of the time in churches, what we hear, what is preached to us is the secret of breakthrough is a seed. Amen? Amen. So right now, I'm going to put a basket here, and everybody that's putting a seed in it, it will get 10. In fact, I prayed before I came, and 500-fold return is what me and God agreed upon. So all of you come and drop your seed here. Then the following week, the last week was breakthrough seed. This week, it is crashed through the wall seed. Everybody. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to give seed spiritually. My problem is that we think that is the only kind of seed people are meant to give, but that is wrong. God has put a seed, an idea in your heart. Then he gives you 500 naira. That 500 naira, you can plant it in that idea, and that is a seed. Do you get my point? You can imagine the farmer who every day, he comes to church, sow a seed in the offering basket. Sow a seed, he doesn't go to the farm to go and plant his corn. Come, with the offering basket, germinate a what's it called, Jack's stock to heaven to go and bring magic piece for him, or whatever, or gold. It won't. Get my point? I'm happy we started this by talking about treasure in heaven. So I am not at all belittling the issue of the spiritual matters. But I'm saying that is not all the seed God is talking about. There is a seed you plant physically, like a farmer goes to the farm to plant corn. You understand my point? After he has prayed and planted spiritual seed, he still has to plant physical seed. That is the one I'm emphasizing. That is the one that produces wealth. It starts with small idea. You know, in my hometown, well, not really my hometown, but that's where we live. That's where I grew up, okay? There is a school there where people send their children from Lagos. This is Ondo State. Lagos, Port Harcourt, everywhere. They send their children home to go and go to school there. And get my points, people send their children from abroad to come home and go and be brought up properly, and they send them to school there. I still remember how the school started. You know my brother, Deji, all right? He went to, it was in nursery 2 when that school, no, it was in nursery 1, nursery 2 when that school started. You know, that my little brother, it was a little boy then, that big guy boy now. He's a university graduate now. I'm serious. Okay? He's a university graduate now. Okay? Now, he was a small boy like that when that school started, an infant. I remember very well. Anti-busy. People were going there. You started with a daycare, kindergarten, then primary 1, primary 2. Currently, is a very big secondary school. I dare to say the best secondary school in those states. That is seed I'm talking about. It is not that the woman didn't plant money in church. Are you following my point? That the seed was just that took the sitting room. Oh, get my point. They were sitting maybe inside the bedroom, and the sitting room was the school. Or they were staying upstairs, and downstairs was the school. That's how it started. Like that. Now they have hostels. If it was money that time, you know, a lot of people would rather take a job than start that. How much money was she making from that small sitting room that time? Think about it. It must have been very stupidly small. But now, let's forget cash. She has created wealth. It's a woman. Her husband is a doctor. She has created what? Wealth. Now, people send their children from far and wide to get into the school. That's what I believe. Look, when you're talking about seed, seed is not just money you give as offering. That is not all. There is something that you can do. That is seed. Next time, if I do, that would be a good time to start talking about being fruitful and multiplying. That's next time when we'll come around. But let me summarize what I've said today. That wealth is what we are talking about, not money. Do you get my point? Money is just cash. That really doesn't, before God, doesn't have much value. If you get 50 billion naira today, it is not wealth until it has created something. Do you get my point? It is not wealth just by being money. What is wealth is the strength that you are imparting to life. Are you following me? That's what wealth is. And that as a child of God, what God wants to do in your life is not to give you money. Is to do what? Create wealth by you. An industry is wealth. I talked about a school, that's wealth. A university, that is wealth. Whatever be the kind of company that is positively impacting the life of people, that is wealth. That is what God is giving, the ability to make such things. That is, there's one king we should read about. I checked him up just now. That should be 2 Chronicles 26. You'll see what God, when we're talking about wealth, I was talking about United States and countries like that. For them, they may tell you that one of their fighter jets is $500 million, but they make it. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. So actually, for them, it's as if we are paying maybe 50 million naira for each one, because they make it. But once we always have to buy, that is why you mentioned the value of the naira, the value of the naira. Listen, what God has joined together, no man can put asunder. The fellow that's always buying, his currency will always be cheap. God has joined it together. So Ludo, our new CBN governor, cannot change that fact. There was a time that MB Marwa legislated the rate of rent in Lagos. I laughed. That the laws of demand and supply cannot be changed by military fiat. You understand what I say? You cannot decree that from now, flats in Lagos must be 50,000 naira per annum when you didn't build flats for them. Of course, as the guy was making his decree, the landlords were collecting their 500,000 naira. They didn't care. Why? Because what God has joined together, no man can put asunder. MTN sent a stupid text around to all of us the other day that their cards are still 1,500 naira, so you shouldn't pay more than that. But as they were sending the text, the boys on the road were selling it for 1,800. Why? Because the things were scarce. Once something is scarce, the value is high. The moment diamonds become common everywhere, it will become cheap. Are you getting the point I'm making? There is no decree that you can make to revert these laws. You can only use the laws, have the knowledge of them, and manipulate the environment as you look. If they tell you 2 multiplied by 2 is 4. If you want 8, you start multiplying your own 2 by 4. You get my point? You can't say, no, here, 2 plus 2 should be, 2 times 2 should be 15. Why not? It cannot be. If you want 15, you multiply your 2 by 7.5. In the same manner, the value of Naira, look, that was one area I disagree with Professor Sam Aluko. You can't sit in Aso Rock and decree the value of the Naira. I hope you are getting my point. If you don't make anything and you're always buying everything, your money will be cheap. Why? Because you are not rich. I hope you are hearing what I'm saying. You know, there's one lie. I didn't know it was a lie. I used to believe it too. You know, people say Nigeria is a rich country. Nigeria is a rich country. After I heard the president say it and other people talk about it, I realized that indeed Nigeria is only potentially rich. You know why? They said the annual budget of the fire department of New York City is the same as Nigeria's national budget. No, I didn't say the whole city, the fire department. The other day we were watching a film in my house and fire started within 1 minute. Panopano don't arrive. Panopano is what we call fire brigade in my place. So I was discussing, I told my wife that do you know that this is not just film, that is the way it is with them. It is money, that is wealth. Are you following the point that I'm making? The men make the fire engines, the men make everything. So every street we have one major fire engine waiting. Fire may not catch for the next 1 year, but they will continue to wait. They can afford it. I hope you are getting my point. Now, we say, Nigeria is, one of my friends was saying the other day in the office, we can do it. I was saying that, he said, our policemen don't use their helicopters to patrol. I said, they can't. We can't afford it. He said, no, we have the money. I wasn't in the mood for arguing. As long as we have to import the helicopters, we can't afford it. We sell only about $10 billion, is it $12 billion of oil per annum. We can't afford it. How many are we going to buy? So use all national the money to buy helicopters? No. until you start making helicopters, it will be difficult for your policemen to use helicopters for regular patrols. It will be very hard. Even car, how many cars can we afford? Because when you have, you see, the idea is this. Wealth is what you can make. So stop deceiving yourself that you are rich until you are making something. You know, Mike, you know, I was listening to that tape I was telling you about. And the man of God was saying that last year, the amount of money Nigeria made annually was what Americans used to buy food for their dogs. No, I'm serious. You're a rich country. Because you don't make things. That's the point. That is the amount of money they spend buying dog food. That is China where people shouldn't make so much noise. All the money you people made last year was what Americans spent smoking cigarettes. Americans spend more money on cigarettes than we spend that we make from crude oil that we are job people are fighting over every day. They spend more money smoking cigarettes. Look, this thing is not about cash. It's about what? Production, productivity, what you can produce. I want us as children of God to stop giving testimony that somebody sent you 50 naira. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know, I was just in my office during the week. And he said, you know these 419 boys? You know, these fraudulent boys, always sending emails, trying to defraud people. After one guy had done it for a year, he finally made $900. He defrauded somebody of $900. And he was rejoicing. You, the whole street knew he had made $900. Gosh. When Satan has blinded a man. Because, you see, he wants to make money without producing anything. So, he didn't know that he was so poor that even me, as I did now, $900 can't make me laugh. You understand my point? I was just, not bad. Put in my breast pocket and that is how I face my way. $900. But because he doesn't have the mentality of producing anything, he's really a poor man at heart. That's what we have taught today. Let's stop deceiving ourselves that we are rich until we are productive. If you sit down in your house and somebody is always sending you 100,000 naira every week, listen to me, you are a poor man. In fact, he has used that money to put you in perpetual poverty. Wealth is that you are creating something. Listen, if you found a company today that is supplying the needs in one particular area of 100,000 people per day, do you know even if all you get every day is 1,000 naira, do you know you when you are working, people will respect you. All these rich people in America, you know what they spend most of the time? What the money they spend is the impression people have of them. Let me sorry say. If Bill Gates is broke now, and he walks to a bank and says, give me a loan, $100 million cash. All they know is that he can't be so bad. The man must have money. You know they'll give it to him. Why? Because he has a history of being productive. And that's what I want us to set in our minds. That when God is giving us the power to get wealth, it is not the power to make money. I hope you are following me. What he's saying is that you have the power to be productive. I was going to read something as I close. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. It was talking about Amaziah, verse 5. And he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Or like King James said, God made him to prosper. Now if you read verse 6, he went out and warred against the Philistines. I broke down the wall of Gath and all that. Now, I want you to see something here. Verse 7, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gobal and the Meunites. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah. And his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Notice verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gates and at the valley gates and at the corner buttress and fortified them. He built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns. And he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile fields, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions, according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jael the scribe, and Messiah the official under the discretion of Ananias, one of the king's officers. Now, and where I'm coming, okay, jump to 13. And under their direction was an elite army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemies. Yeah, this is where I really want, from verse 14. It said, moreover, Uzziah prepared for all these people. He said, prepare for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and sling stones. And in Jerusalem, he made engines of war. That's what I want to come to. Notice that. He made engines of war, invented by skillful men, to be on the tower and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and gravestones. Hence, his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. What I want to bring out is this. You can see, for the reason, because God gave him ability to do things, he began to accomplish. You get my point? When the man went into farming, he had a lot. The Bible said he loved the soil. So, in the plains, he had this. In the hill country, he had this. He was building. That's the point I'm coming to. He wasn't just collecting dribbles. This man was manufacturing. At a point in time, they began to make engines. It may not have been diesel engine, but they were engines. They were technological inventions. They used knowledge of science to produce something to affect their situation. I hope you are getting my point. And that is a man that God helped. I'm saying that when God is going to help you and God is going to help me, it's not just to sit down and nobody knows where your money is coming from. You are just rich. That is not the idea. What God wants is that you will be fruitful. That there is something he has placed in your hand with which you will produce something. Are you getting the point that I am making? That we are not talking about just making money. What are we talking about? Making wealth. Wealth is strength. That is an empowerment that you give to people. And if you have that mentality, God will give you an idea. Get that point? It's wisdom. Something in your head that you can do to affect a particular situation. Last time we talked about cheap houses, schools, cheap cars, anything. There are different kinds of things that we need currently that you know that God has placed inside you that you can do. And listen to me, don't let the devil buy your wealth with money. Did you hear what I said? Do not let the devil buy your wealth with money. What do I mean? Listen, as I did now, you cannot give me a job. No matter how highly paying the job is, once it will take me from the work of the ministry and the writing that I do, I will never get my point. Make it $1 million a month, I won't take. Did you hear me? Why? Because there is a seed that God has planted inside me, I will not let you buy it. It's wealth. I know I'm carrying wealth. When we're talking about wealth, it's not that you have money. That's not what we're talking about. That there is a positive impact that is encapsulated in my heart. You can't buy it with money. How do people buy it with money? Oh boy, come, follow me, come and walk here. It has nothing to do with the drive of your heart. The passion of your heart is not there, but they give you 100,000 every week. Aye! You can't leave it. What has happened is they have bought your wealth with money. And listen, once all you are earning in your life is salary, you are a poor man. Please, did you hear what I said? Once somebody is paying you salary, now it's different when somebody is negotiating with you. You get what I'm going to say? In that, because I remember those days, Michael Eisner, the man who turned around the Walt Disney, he was the highest paid CEO in one particular year. From a losing company, they became a profit-making company. That year, they made $2 billion. The man's deal was 10%. He collected, I remember very well, I think that was 1993. He collected $206 million as income for the year. That's not his salary. You understand what I'm saying? The man came with light to turn around their situation. And what he got in return, he got money for creating wealth. The company got how much? $2 billion. But the deal was that you take 10% of whatever you make for us. So the man pocketed Michael Eisner, I remember very well. The man made $206 million as income in 1 year. I hope you are getting my point. That is prosperity thinking. A lot of people that think they have a prosperity mentality, actually they have a poverty mentality. You understand my point? What they think is prosperity is that I drive a Lexus, I have a Ford Expedition, and on top of that, I've just bought a Lincoln Navigator. And that is prosperity. You and I know now that that is madness. Look, I love big cars. If I had money, me too, I'd probably buy a Ford Expedition. You understand? So I'm not lying against the truth. I don't mind them. The people driving good cars are not necessarily happy. Bad cars are not guarantees for happiness. So you understand? In fact, no, just hear it now. The people inside S-Class Mercedes-Benz are usually happier than those inside Volkswagen B2. You understand my point? It is a fact. Are you hearing me? Uh-huh. I know a man that I'm aware that a man driving an S-Class Benz is happier than me inside my car. When I say happier, I'm not saying that. No, assume we are on the same level. Except he has cocaine in his brain or he's a thief. But all things being equal, it is better to be in a big car than in a small car. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? No, listen, small cars were invented because of poverty. I keep on saying this. When fuel became scarce, people started mising. That's why I started buying 2.5 cylinder cars. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that prosperity is not the size of the car. That wealth is that I am producing something, not that I'm driving a big car. That I would rather be trekking on the road, knowing that I'm producing something, than driving a very big car, and there is nothing that somebody can say I am blessing my society with or blessing people with. Are you getting my point? That is what is a prosperity mentality. To be getting is a poverty mentality. To want to have is a poverty mentality. To want to give is a mentality of somebody who's prosperous. Because Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us pray.